Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
We have Dr. Reserve, Jules Normill. She is a licensed professional Christian counselor. Dr. Normill is a member of the Work for Jesus House of Prayer. Her pastor is none other than Bishop Elijah Johnson. Dr. Normill today will grace us with the topic, Why and Available. We want you to stay tuned. We're getting ready for you to hear from the Almighty God. And we want you to get your Bible ready. Turn to the Old Testament, because that is where we're going to be coming from the book of Judges. And then we're going to hear from Pastor Francina Shanks. Pastor Shanks is the founder of Reaching Souls for Jesus Outreach and Deliverance Ministry. Pastor Shanks will talk with us today about submissive to God's plan. Submissive to God's plan. And our scripture text will come from Judges, the 4th chapter, 8 through the 14th verse, and the 23rd and the 24th verse. And then I will come, and Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, pastor and founder of Crusader for Christ, World Mission and Evangelism Worship Center, and I would like to talk to you about being humble and grateful. And that scripture text will come from Judges, the 5th chapter, 1st through the 5th verse, and that 31st verse. But first of all, we are getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Come on, I invite you to come and go with us. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. And Father, we just give you praise and glory for all that you have done, all, God, that you're about to do in the name of Jesus. Today, we proclaim you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the true and the living God. Truly, Lord God, you have all power in your hand, and you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. We give you praise and glory. We give you thanksgiving. We worship you. We thank you for being the Almighty God. Father God, today, even as our audience listening, God, around the United States of America, we pray, God, that souls will be saved and lives will be changed. God, those that are backslidden position, that is in a backslidden position, Lord, we ask thee even today to bring them back to you and to the ark of safety. And those that are not saved, God, I pray even now as they hear the word of God today, that, Lord, their heart will be touched, and God, that they will give their lives unto you. Father, we thank you for the word of God that is about to come forth. We thank you for the study of the scripture, because your word said to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. So today we thank you for the truth, and for this we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, today, you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, let them know that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. So our topic today is Deborah Leadership Model. We need leadership. We need models, people that will model leadership to bring direction, to give people, nations of people, the directions in which they are to follow and the things that they should do. So today, even as we talk about a great woman of God who was a judge, we want you to hear so you can get insight about this woman of God. Now, our study text will come from Judges, the fourth chapter and the fourth verse, through Judges, the fifth chapter and the 31st verse. Our center truth today is characteristics of strong leadership include wisdom, submission, and humility. Our key verse, take note of this. It will come from Judges, the fifth chapter, 1 and 2. Then sang Deborah and Barak, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offer themselves." In the NIV, it reads, "On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Hanbonim, sang this song, when the prince in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord." In introduction to this study today, we see Saul, who became the first king, and that happened in 10 BC, of Israel. It was subdued and ruled by a succession of judges. That it was before Paul became the first king. At this period of time, the judges was a time of spiritual indifference, and the nation was in sin. Well, the Israelites had repeatedly gave in to the temptation to worship pagan gods. God then allowed the Israelites to be oppressed by foreigners. And when the Israelites got tired of the oppression, they turned back to God. Now, that's something that I'm quite sure that you can identify with. There are segments and groups of people that have turned their faith away from God. Yes, they have committed apostasy, and they have turned away from the truth. They have turned away from the true and the living God. Well, Israel found themselves in the same predicament. They didn't have to be there. The people of the world don't have to be in this condition. But when we see, and as we go through the Word of God, we will see how the people of God at this time, how really they consistently turned away from God. They kept switching and switching, switching here, switching there, switching back, and doing things the way that they wanted to do them. We cannot play with God. When God allowed these people at this time to fall into oppression, that yes, they was oppression because they didn't obey God. Sometimes you wonder, why am I going through the situations in life that you're going through? Why? Because sometimes it's a life of disobedience. It's a life of sometimes people are not disciplined in their walk with Christ. So here we are today, a great word of God, a great study of the word of God, as we see Deborah's leadership model in operation. Oh, what a model, as you will see as we go to Dr. June Normill, who will give us insight, who will tell us about the wise and be wise and available. Dr. June Normill.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Give honor to God for allowing me to come before radio audience and also the radio panel today. I give you greetings. Thank you, Lord, for this day. My topic is wise and available, talking about Deborah. And my scripture reading will be coming from Judges 4:4-7. And it reads, "And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidai, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinadab, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, to Syria, and captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hands. I read Judges 4:4-7. And my topic is wise and available. And we're talking about Deborah. And like Dr. Cole opened up and said, Israel continued to go on and on their old ways and also find themselves in bondage. And God always found a way of escape for them after they repent. So at this time, about Judges 4:4, this chapter I'm reading about, they had been in bondage for 20 years and oppressed by Jabin. He was the king of Canaan. And they were going to have to go into battle with the Canaanites, go into battle with them. And like God always do, he gave them victory. But once again, we'll see the children of Israel come out of this victory. But this time, we're going to see them coming through and come out by a woman who is called Deborah. And to find a little bit of insight about Deborah, she was a prophetess. She was a mouthpiece of God. And God had appointed her to be a prophetess. And during that time, they didn't have a judge. I mean, they didn't have kings. They had judges during that time until Saul was the first king who came about. But until that time, they had judges. And Deborah was the only woman to have that position of a judge in Israel, the only one. She was the fourth judge in Israel. And at that time, you know, a judge, it was a leader of a country, and they led people in the area of the spiritual, political, judicial, and in most cases, a military leader. But we know that in that case, we'll see as we go further that how Deborah, even her being a judge, even her being a prophetess, how God gave her wisdom to still be able to act in that position, but know how to give authority to another. And in other words, it just seemed as though, and it was that a judge was like a king. They had to function like a king in that area. So what does Judges 4 say about Deborah? Okay, Deborah, she described, like we say, she was a prophetess, she was a judge, and she was also a wife. She had a husband named Lapidai. She was his wife. And we see right there that she made herself available, because the topic is wives and available. She made herself available, being a wife, being called by God, and she was available. And we'll see, even if we look at our own, examine our own life, that how we be led by God, we'll find ourselves that it won't contradict, it won't cause problems with the things we do for God and with the thing God has called us, no matter what our status, whether we've been single or married. And one thing about Deborah, she had a very special relationship with God. She had a special relationship with God. She was called to be a prophetess. She had prophetic calling on her life. And the difference between a prophetess, the God, and a prophet, that's something that is not inherited. Just like you might see, they have calls of a priest or a Levite or a king. It's already lined up in a family. You inherit that by just being part of the lineage of that family. But being called as a prophet or prophetess, that's a special and a certain specific calling only God gives you. You can't wean yourself through that. That can't be inherited down to you. And she had a special relationship with God, and God called her to be a prophetess. And she was a spokesperson for God's people. And that was a very special thing. And only Deborah and Samuel, they were the only one mentioned that holds a prophetic office. Those were the only two that was judges of Israel, Samuel and Deborah, that was called to be mentioned as holding a prophetic office. And we still see that Deborah being the only one, how she was called out. She was called out by God to have a very specific and special place in the land of Israel at that time. And even though she was a leader of the nation of Israel, I mean, she still was defined. She still carried herself as being a wife, did her wifely duties with her husband. Then it didn't contradict and it didn't cause conflict with her lifestyle about her being a judge, about her being a prophetess, and about her being a wife. And I'm sure that the life that she lived, knowing she being called by God and being submitted to God, that her leader and her success as being a leader, it won great respect by her husband. I'm sure that he had no problem with her being that. Judge, the same thing with we as people and being women, I'll say, since we're talking about Deborah, she's a woman in Christ and a woman in God, that we ought to examine ourselves too, you know, and know we to be called by God and know that things can run smoothly. It doesn't cause conflict with your family life. And it didn't cause conflict with Deborah's family life because God had called her and her husband respect her for what she was doing. And what Deborah do, what she did, she was also in the office of a judge. Israel, the children of Israel would come to her when they had disputes of things they couldn't come to get to just, could not get the answers to. They would come to her as a judge, and she would decide. She would settle their problems. And her courtroom, as they say, the scripture was saying, we take it as being under a tree, and they called it the palm tree of Deborah because that's where she did all her health, all her cases. I don't know, maybe she could have had a house up under that particular palm tree, or maybe she did it openly. I don't know how she did it, but she was under a palm tree, and she settled all the disputes that the Israelites was not able to settle themselves. And she clearly was knowledgeable about everything, and she was a respected leader. They respected her for her wisdom. They respected her for her knowledge. They respected her for her lifestyle. And they received the answer that she gave them concerning their problems. And a lot of times we look now, even as wisdom for ourselves, the wisdom we see in the world is like intellectual wisdom, what we learn through books, what we learn through other people and knowledge. But Deborah had possessed a certain type of a wisdom that was a little higher than to a higher dimension. She had discerned wisdom, and she had possessed wisdom that was from God. She had godly wisdom, and she had the wisdom that God gives. And when God gives you the wisdom, that is pure. You have that pure wisdom coming straight from God. It ain't been tampered with the knowledge and understanding of man, but it comes straight from God, and that's godly wisdom. And it's pure, and then it's peaceable. It's that peace that surpasses all understanding. And then it's gentle. And it's easy to be entreated. You will receive what she had to say because she did it in such a way that it was full of the Holy Spirit. It's full of the anointing that you would be able to receive what she said, even if it wasn't the answer that you would like to receive. And then it was full of mercy. And it had good fruit. And it wasn't partiality, and it wasn't hypocrisy in it. So in the altar, even her being a judge, she didn't have biased answers and biased respect to a person. She was led by God and able to do what God called her to do. And it takes a person with wisdom to be able to discern what to do, when to do it. And she had that. She had that straight from God. In the Bible, it talks about wisdom a lot in Proverbs. Proverbs say wisdom portrayed as a treasure. And that's what it is. It's like a treasure, something you hold so dearly. And it's just something that'll keep you for a lifetime. But Deborah knew that this secret of finding true wisdom is knowing God intimately. She had a special intimate relationship with God, and that even though she was a female, she was a woman, but because her relationship with God was so pure, it was so holy, it was just so gentle and peaceful, that when people see her and they see the fruit of what she was doing, it didn't even bother people in their mind to recognize that she was a female, because she was obedient to God. Deborah was obedient to God. She wasn't only just wise, she was submissive to God in her leadership and in her life. And as you look at the other judges before Deborah became a judge, what they did, they had to show themselves, prove themselves worthy to be a judge by being able to win wars and military. But we see as Deborah became a judge, she didn't even have to fight. She didn't have to fight and do no war. She just came, God chose her to be a judge. And then after she became a judge, then she went in her way of showing a battle, how she can win battles. And what God did by being strategically wise through the wisdom of God, what Deborah did, she know that she being a woman wasn't able herself to just go out and stand on the battlefield and to go out and fight this war with the Canaanites and stuff. So what she did, God gave her the plan what to do. And by her wisdom and being available to God, what she did was she called Barak. She called another man that who was able to do what she wasn't able to do herself as being a woman. But because she was wise, she wisdom, she knew how to strategically turn that thing around. So by her and Barak being together, Barak couldn't do nothing without the head knowledge and the wisdom of Deborah. And Deborah couldn't do nothing without the hands and the footworking of the Barak. So what they did together and her wisdom God gave her, they worked together. And they came out to have victory, as you will see later on in the chapters, that God had given them over them. And so we see Deborah, you know, being a judge, being a wife, and being a prophetess of God, and she had all that power, all that wisdom, and all. We wonder, okay, since Deborah, she's the leader over Israel, why she had to call for Barak to lead the army? Why she just couldn't lead it? The reason she could, because Deborah knew what God had called her to do, and she was determined to stay in that role. And that's what we have to do. We have to know what God has called us to do. A lot of times we might be capable of doing a lot of things, but we need to be willing and obedient to do the thing that God called us to do, that it be more effective. And Deborah knew what she was called to do, and she stayed in that role. You know, because sometimes we step out of the call of God and place on our lives. You know, we attempt to do things because we can do it, because people encourage us to do it. And God never tend us to do that. And sometimes the consequence could be embarrassing, and it sometimes could just downright disastrous. But when we obey what God has called us to do, he would give us the strength and the guidance to do it and the power to do it. And so that's what happened to Deborah in the chapter of 4, between 4 and verse 7. God called her to be a judge. She was a prophetess. And she was able to, by using her wisdom, being available to God, and being obedient to the call of God, she stayed in her boundary, being a judge over there, and she called people to stand in line and do what God wanted to be done. That was wise to do that. And another thing, what God gave her to do, she gave it to someone else to do because God directed her that way. And that's the same thing can happen to our lives. If we could be wise and available and obedient to God, we could do the same thing what God had called them to do. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. Normia for giving us our discussion today on wise and available. We have to ask you this question: are you wise and are you available? That's two questions. That is something that we need to consider. Are we wise in the things of God? Are we using God's judgment to do the things that he desires for us to do? God would give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in order to do anything that we need to do. The question is, have we availed ourselves? Can we say that we are available? There's a song that they sang a long time ago. It was an awesome song, one of my favorites, and it was being available. Are you available? I'm available to you. And that meant a lot to me because a person that have given God their heart, mind, soul, and spirit, that they don't mind being available for God. Whatever, God, you want me to do, God, I am available of you to use me in any way, any time that you want to use me. Now, we're going to walk our way through this session of Breakthrough Broadcast, and I hope you're taking the strides and the walk with us today as we go through the fourth and the fifth chapter of Judges. Now, we're getting ready to go to next, the woman of God, Pastor Francina Shanks, and she's going to talk to us about submissive to God's plan, being submissive to God's plan. And that comes from Judges, the fourth chapter, 8 through the 14th verse, and the 23rd and the 24th verse of the same chapter. Let's go with to Dr. Pastor Francina Shanks as she give us insight and revelation knowledge as she speak with the anointing on submissive to God's plan, being submissive to God's plan, not our plan, but the plan of God. Pastor Shanks.
His people and those who are listening to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
I just thank God for allowing me to be here today with you all. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. My topic is submissive to God's plan. Judges, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse through the 14th verse. And Barak said unto her, talking about the prophetess Deborah, in the Hebrew is Deborah, if thou will go with me, then I will go. But if thou will not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Verse 10. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent unto the plain of Zanaim, which is by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinadab, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, up! For this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read verse 15 as well. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. Well, Barak, he looked upon Deborah. He knew Deborah was the judge of Israel, and so he knew that God was with her. He knew the Spirit of God or the presence of God was with Deborah. But he told her he would go into battle against Jabin, but only if she would go with him. And so she told him, she prophesied to him and told him, well, I would surely go with you, but notwithstanding the journey that you are going to take shall not be for your honor. She was telling him he was not going to get any honor. He said, for the Lord shall send Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Praise God. Well, you see, he knew that the Lord was with Deborah, and Deborah was a type of, we could say, like God or the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost being with us. He knew that the presence of God was with Deborah. Even her name meant beast in the Hebrew. And if you can imagine in your mind, you see a beast, like the honeybee, the queen bee is the dominant one in their, you know, say their hive. She's the main one. She's the head, the queen bee. And Deborah's name meant bee. So in my studying about the bee, like Deborah's name meant, the queen bee and the worker are the only ones that have stings. And they form a very knit community. And that's how the children of Israel were. They were like that. And I was researching about Deborah while she was sitting under that tree. And that tree is called the palm tree of Deborah. It's called that because Rebecca's nurse name was Deborah. And you know, studying the Bible, Rebecca was Isaac's wife.
and her nurse name was Deborah. And so her nurse died. Rebecca's nurse, Deborah, died. And so they buried her up under that oak or that palm tree. And that's why that tree was named the Palm Tree of Deborah. And what it really meant in the Hebrew tongue was, if I can say it right, Alon Bakuth. And it meant oak of weeping. And so that very part of that tree had a lot of meaning to the people of Israel. Also, Jacob had made an altar there to the Lord after the Lord delivered him from out of the hands of his brother Esau. And he named that place Bethel. That's why it was called Bethel too, as you read the scripture, Ramah and Bethel. And so that particular spot had a very special meaning to the people of Israel. That's why Deborah went and sat there, because Jacob named that place the house of God. That's what Bethel means, the house of God. And so they knew God's presence was there. That's why Deborah went and sat under that palm tree. It was very special to her and the people of Israel. Ramah also meant high place. And so that was the high place, the house of God, in Mount Ephraim, fruitful. So that's why she sat up under that palm tree. That's why it was named the palm tree of Deborah. Praise God. So that's why she sat there. She judged God over certain matters and stuff that they couldn't take care of themselves. They knew the presence of God was with her. And, you know, that's how we have to be as God's people, as God's women. Deborah was a woman, as the doctor had ministered on earlier when she was talking, Dr. Norville. She already told you that Deborah had that type of relationship with God. That's the way God wants us to be. And Deborah submitted to God's will. My topic is submissive to God's plans. That word submissive means we have to yield to the power or control of God. We have to be obedient and humble. That word submissive also means obedient and humble. And we have to submit and be submissive to God's plan, not our plan. Dr. McCoy spoke about that too, how we can't do it our way or have our plan. We have to do it the way God say do it and follow his lead. And if we do what he say do, we'll have great success. We'll come out on the other side. We'll have victory. So it's important that we as people of God be submissive. And what that word submissive means is yield to the will or the power or control and be obedient and humble to God. Submissive have all those different words in it, what it means. It means to yield. It means to yield to the power and control of God. It also means to be obedient and humble. All those words are in that one word, submissive. So that's the way Deborah was. She was submissive to God's control, his will. Obedient. She was humble. And so Barak humbled himself as well, and he followed her. And let's read on and see what God did because of their obedience and his obedience to listening to the woman of God. Praise God. I'm going to verse 23 and 24. Now, verse 17 is talking about how, excuse me, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn in, my lord, turn in to me. Fear not." And when he had returned, and when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, "Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, "Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, is there any man here that thou shalt say no?" Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temple and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep.
and weary, so he died. And I'm going to go on down to verse 23. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Cana, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Cana, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Cana. And because of Jabin, Barak, following the Lord's instructions through his prophetess, God delivered the Canaanites into the hands of Israel, and Israel overcame their enemies. Now, you just imagine if Barak had not obeyed the voice of the Lord as he spoke to the prophetess Deborah, then God would not have delivered the Canaanites, Jabin and Sisera, into the hands of the children of Israel. That's how we have to be. We look at them as an example to us. When we obey God and do what he say, he might speak to us himself, or he might speak through one of our leaders, whether it's a woman or a man. And so when the Lord speaks to us through his servants or to ourselves, we have to obey God's voice and do what he say. We have to submit. We have to be submissive to God's plan. And remember that word submissive means to yield to the control, to the power, and be obedient and humble to God. We have to do what he said. We have to be submissive to God's plan, not our own. Now, if they hadn't have been submissive to God's plans, Deborah and Barak, then God wouldn't have delivered the hands of their enemies, the Canaanites, into their hands. But they overcame by listening to God's plans, to God's instructions. So we have to be the same way as people of God. We have to submit. We have to learn how to be humble. Remember that word submissive means to be humble, obedient, yield to the power and control of God. This is an awesome word today. It really has blessed me today. And so I hope it blessed you as well. And as I turn it back over to Dr. McCoy, to God be the glory.
Thank you, Pastor Shanks. We are so honored by the Lord today for what he is giving his people. You know, of course, God only gives the best to his people. He doesn't give, like, leftovers or something bad that's not going to be nutrition for our being, for our spirit, but he gives that which is going to empower us to continue on in this journey, and not to just to be here, but to be an active part in the role of a believer. So as we see Deborah today, we see the hand of God. We see the power of God. We see how God would use one if we only believe, if we only avail ourselves to the plan of God, not our plan, but the plan of God. We see today, as we study the Word of God, Dr. Normville talked to us about wise, being wise and available. Then Pastor Francina Shanks came to us, and she talked to us about being submissive to God's plan. All of those are very important because it is a necessity that we use these in order to, so that they can empower us and take us into the place where God will have us to be. Now, I'm going to talk to you about being humble and grateful. And we're going to read Judges, the 5th chapter, first through the 5th verse, and then we're going to pick up that 31st verse. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, praise you, the Lord, for avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O you king, give ear, O you princes. I was saying to the Lord, I was saying praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out of Syria, when you marched out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melt from before the Lord, even that Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. And in that 31st verse, it reads, so let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when it goes forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. Oh, what a word from the Lord. Oh, how God will teach us and instruct us, and how he will use others to give us that initiative to go forth and to be better in every situation and to stand upon his word, to stand upon him, because he is of that solid rock and he is that foundation that we should stand on that will not give away. Now, to be humble, the word of God says in when we read Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn away from their wicked way, he said, then what I hear from heaven, I will forgive the sin and I will heal the land. So therefore, it let us know that we should be humble. That means, but everyone should be humble. It doesn't matter if you are that lay person or you are a believer. We need to humble ourselves before God. That means no matter if you're part of the fivefold ministry, you can be that apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. But we all have to humble ourselves before God. If we are and we say we are the people of God, we see a great example of a woman who humbled herself and walked in grace and was grateful for the things that God had restored and allowed she and those that were with her to do. She didn't take victory because she did it by herself, but she was able to walk and to be in agreement with those that was with her. I find that today that as believers and people of God, that we must be on one mind and one accord. And when we can be on one mind and one accord, then God can use us. But first, we need to humble ourselves. And we need to be grateful for the Lord allowing us to walk with other office of being just, of just being saved, because it's more than a person. You may not be in the fivefold ministry, but if you're a believer, you have a word, you have a responsibility to go forth with God, as it says in Mark, the 16th chapter, and we read that 15, 16, and the 17th verse. So we all have a charge to keep and a God to glorify. But when we look at Deborah, after this great victory, Deborah and Barak sang a song of praises to our God. Oh, my God. When I read that, when I see that, you know, they didn't come up out of this after God had brought them out. They didn't bring themselves or display themselves as being puffed up. I did it. You know, it was because of me, because of us that we did this. No, they knew it was the Almighty God. We see that after this great victory, Deborah and Barak sang a song of praise to God, what is that song today that's in your heart that you want to sing praises unto God for the victories, for the things that he has brought you through? Of course, he has brought you through many obstacles. Oh, I'm a witness. I've gone through many obstacles, but God brought me through with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and caused other believers to walk in total victory and to be conquerors as you see the man of God and the woman of God. Deborah was a woman that wore many hats. Deborah was one that was a judge, was a prophet and a wife, one that understood what God's assignment was for her. Deborah's song revealed her humility. What does our song reveal? Does it reveal something less than being seeing humility and what God has done? But when we think about it and we look at it, it reveals and it focuses on what God has done. Not what they had done, but what God had done. God is worthy to be praised, to glorify. He is worthy to be exalted. And I thank God for the praises of God because he is worthy to be praised before every nation, whether they're a foreign nation, wherever they may be. He is worthy. They were in a situation that they needed God to be to fight their battles. We have to ask God and ask ourselves whether or not are we going to let God fight the battle for us, or are we going to attempt to fight the battle? Are we going to wait on God in our endeavor to win or to have victory when we have challenges in our life? When we take a look at verse 4 and 5, Deborah, her song, it recalled the awesomeness of God as he brought the Israelites out of the desert and unto Canaan. And you remember that, what he did for them, how he brought them out with a strong hand and a stretched out arm, how he brought them out against the, as being victims of Pharaoh and his army. God brought victory to them. I thank God because God is the only one that should be praised and the only one that should be glorified. When we look at Deborah, yes, she was a remarkable woman. This woman was confident in what God had called her to do. Deborah was graceful, and she stayed in the boundaries of her calling. And as a leader, she possessed the qualities of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that's why she was able to do, she and Barak was able to do what God allowed them to do, because she knew that it wasn't about her, but it was all about God. I hope that in today's discussion, in today's lesson, as the panel came to you and talked to you by the wayside, I hope that you had your fountain pen, or you had your pencil, or you had your recorder, whatever you had, that you were able to take notes and that you were able to package this so that you can go back and that you can, that God can bring it back to your remembrance and that you can be able to know what God has for you because you are somebody like Deborah. You may be a woman out there and you may think the enemy may think, make you think that you can't do anything or you can't be that woman of God. You can't be a preacher of God, but the devil is a liar. And you may be that man of God that the enemy will talk you down and say, you're not a preacher. You can't preach. Oh, my God, if God called you, he is the one that will ordain you. You don't have to pay attention to what the enemy has tried to speak unto your ear. God want to know, are you available? Deborah, as a leadership model today, we see that she was available. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Father, today we thank you for another visitation of your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Father, for how you shout out down your blessing upon the women of God as they again spoke by the wayside, as they were able to go into the Word of God, and how you anointed them to speak forth the unadulterated, uncompromising word, as they were able to give insight and instruction to the people of God. Father, your word says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, we just want to thank you today, but once again, for allowing us to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, Lord, we ask thee, God, to look upon every listener that are listening to the Breakthrough broadcast. God, there are many needs out there on today. And, Father, we ask thee, Lord Jesus, God, to touch every person that has tuned in to this broadcast. God, to let them know that you are the Alpha and Omega, that you are the beginning and the end, you are the first and the last, you are that true and the living God. Father, let them know, God, that you are not limited in your power. Father, somebody out there that the doctor has given a bad report. But, Father, let them know, God, who report are they going to believe? Are they going to believe the report of the Lord that says that they are healed, that they are delivered, that they are being made free? Father, I ask you to touch them, God, today. God, to let them know that they can be encouraged. God, that they can have hope. God, that they can look to the ear what cometh their hair, knowing, God, that they have coming from you who has made the heaven and the earth. Lord, let them stand fast in the liberty that you have given them. Let them know, God, that you are God and God all by yourself. Lord, you have told us that all we need to do is ask. Your words say ask, and it shall be given. You said, Father, if we have a grain of a mustard seed, say to the mountain, be thou moved. God, you said, it shall be moved. So, Lord, touch every individual, no matter what infirmity of demonic spirit that have tried to cause them to have illness in their body. I pray healing. I send the word of healing right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that they are healed. You paid the price 2,000 years ago for their healing and for their deliverance, no matter what the sickness, no matter what the disease may be. Now, Lord, if there are some people out there that are listening that are not saved, they do not know you as Lord and Savior. You say that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. You said that they shall be saved. I ask you, Lord, even now, to save them, deliver them, and to make them free. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for once again being able to come before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We will once again would like to thank Dr. June Gordon, Pastor Francina Shanks, and as your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, we invite you to tune in next week at the same time to the Breakthrough Broadcast as we again go through the Word of God, the Word of God that God has given us for that day and that time. May you be tremendously blessed, and may God bless and keep you, is our prayer.